Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
Hey there, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. Coffee in hand, ready to roll. Thank you very much for joining. You know I've said this a gazillion times on the number one podcast that is specific to industry in the universe. This platform's dedicated to you, the industrial professionals, the companies that get it done. That's you. You're bold, you're brave, you dare greatly, you innovate, you're changing the world. We are celebrating you. Thank you very much for joining another great interview. You know why we have great interviews? Because industry's great. Doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. Let's get going. Yep. Another great interview. Blah, blah, blah. You're looking out on the video, right? And you can see that my face is like the chia pet. It just keeps on growing because I, too, am quarantined and I do a lousy job at trimming my beard. And I can't get it trimmed worth a lick. However, it does look like sort of a beard chia pet. I mean, I guess you could put that on a bumper sticker. I don't know. I don't even know how to spell chip. Maybe. But anyway, we've got a great interview. And once again, I'm going to continue to hound this and pound this and just keep on. Now is the time for you companies, for you professionals to really reevaluate, look at your business processes, look at your business models, look at your initiatives that you are thinking about or we're thinking about or we're doing in a pre-virus world. And then you got to look at it now and whether they're relevant. How are you gaining efficiencies? What are you doing today to ensure your business resiliency tomorrow? What are those difficult questions to have? That conversation, what are they? Have them. Now is the time. Do not lollygag. I don't even know how to spell that either. I don't spell well anyway. However, it's really important to do that. We're going to be featuring a young lady by the name of Brianna Fullman. She is with a great company called Arms Reliability. We're going to be talking about root cause analysis, but not just any root cause analysis. We're talking about Apollo root cause analysis. And you know, sort of this whole pre-virus world, nobody liked to really do that. Everybody was too busy. It's always time. Now is the time to gain efficiencies, to look at your business processes, and do this right so that you have long-term competitive success. It's simple, it's easy, it's direct. I'm passionate about your success. She's passionate about your success. And we go into a number of really great topics, but I'm not going to talk about it because she's going to talk about it on this particular podcast. Enjoy. All right, welcome Brianna to the Industrial Talk Podcast. So glad that you are here. Thank you very much for joining. I think the listeners are going to love this one because we're going to be talking about root cause analysis, but not just any root cause analysis. We're going to be talking about Apollo root cause analysis. And I have no clue. All I know is that root cause analysis. So we're going to go into that. But before we start tackling root cause analysis, Brianna, give us a little background on who you are and why you're such an incredible professional for the listeners out there.
Howdy, Scott. Thanks for that introduction. So I'm Brianna Fullman, and I am an Apollo RCA trainer and facilitator working for Arms Reliability. I also, in some of my free time, get to do some reliability engineering work for them. In my life, I was also the incident investigation lead for a unit and was a facilitator for multiple incident investigations. So I've had the opportunity to walk into a lot of rooms full of unhappy people looking forward to going through an RCA.
Yeah, that's a good point. I've lived through it. Okay, it's time for your RCA time. And it's like, oh, okay, let's go to this conference room and then have this conversation. And then it's on this whiteboard. And then don't point fingers at each other on who did what and why. That's a bad thing. Yeah, been there. You're not a very popular person sometimes.
I like to hope that by the end of it, I am. But yes, usually people don't look forward to meetings with me.
Incidents. Nobody likes hearing that word either. Nobody likes hearing incidents. That's it. So for the listeners out there, Now, there's root cause analysis, and we've always just sort of taken that term, and we've bantered it back and forth, especially the safety people. But why is it's branded Apollo? Why is that such a special way of doing your root cause analysis?
Okay, just a little bit of background. So it was invented in 1979 by Dean Gano. He was actually part of the 3 Mile Island incident investigation.
Oh,
and during that, he got very frustrated with how they were trying to do an RCA. He found that they were far more focused on kind of like telling a story, working through a timeline. And while those are valuable things, he felt like you're actually missing an important part of the causes. And so the methodology is all focused around causes in the form of actions and conditions. So actions are a lot of what are people doing? And unfortunately, a lot of times, you know, timelines and stuff, that's more of what we focus on. But the conditions are existing and going on that kind of led to. So some of those hazards that are existing. Big focus.
So a cause, define a cause, like a piece of steel is a cause to the incident, but that's the cause, right?
So there are a lot of causes that go into an incident. So if we're talking,
I was just trying to simplify it.
but causes are very, the cause blocks themselves, we say, should be very short. So, you know, if it's someone who got a contusion from being hit, then it should be, you know, like hit with steel, you know, where they were standing, how hard they were hit, just basic things like that. And then you'd go back and look at, okay, so then why was the person standing there? Why was the steel in that position? Anything? And so you just kind of keep driving on these very small steps to look at all the causes that led up to that incident.
On a funny note, do you ever have arguments with your husband? Because this wouldn't be comfortable. just telling you right now. holy cow. I don't want to argue with you because you're going to expose.
Actually, when I was originally trained, they did say that this could be used for any time, even issues at home. And at the time, I was not married, so I was kind of like, oh, you've got to be joking me. Thankfully, well, or not, my husband has never agreed to do an RCA on an option we've had.
Wise man. Mm-hmm. Absolutely wise man. Okay, so for the listeners out there, let's talk a little bit about actionable items. We're all about it. One of the challenges that I always see is that people talk a good talk about RCA, but they don't do it. So how do you create in a culture that is, they say they do it, but let's talk a little bit about cultures of problem solving and how do you take advantage of that? Because it always looks to me, it's like it's a waste of time. And it's not negative. It's just maybe the way the company does it.
Okay, yeah. So one of the basics is that you need to make sure that you actually have a defined process set up. And while I say it's basic, now that I've had the opportunity to see a couple different companies, I can tell you that it's something that some are missing on. So the very first thing that you need to make sure is set up is you have to have triggers. And these are going to be things that tell you this is when we're going to do an investigation. And then you also have to make sure that everyone is well aware of them. So triggers can be anything like saying, hey, if this is an OSHA reportable incident or if this is an environmental release that's a reportable quantity, we're doing an investigation. You want to have those predefined because it helps make sure there's no politics in it. There's no, you know, oh, this might make us look bad or I don't really feel like we should do it. That it's very clear. And the other thing is, I don't know if you've ever noticed before, but a lot of incidents happen at 2 a.m. or over holiday weekends. So you want to make sure that the people who are still out there working at your 24/7 plant know that this is an incident because one of the keys to a good investigation is going to be getting that evidence in a timely manner.
And that comes, that yes. comes through that defined process where you get everybody in the room. Mm-hmm. And you lay out that process. It's like, here it is. This is defined. This is a defined incident that requires a trigger into an RCA.
Right, exactly. But you need to make sure that, like, your first line supervisor knows that that's an incident. So they know, A, to start calling people to make them aware that something happened, and B, to start collecting that evidence. So that's why you should set your trigger make sure that people know them, which unfortunately is a lot of times where we kind of fall down. We think that because management or the RCA facilitators know, then we're good.
So if you start the process, and I'm trying to be somewhat simplified here. So first off, you've got to recognize that you need a defined RCA process. One,
right.
It's like, yeah, we need one. We got this, but it's not really defined. So you define it. Who's in that room to define that process?
So for that, it's probably going to be mostly a management level. Definitely need to have your safety individuals in there because they would be the ones, I believe, leading the charge, especially because it's coming, I would assume, from a PSM background or just saying, you know, hey, these are incidents. Now, you can do investigations on non-safety or environmental incidents, but the basics are you're needing to define this process for any kind of instance that you want to make sure does not occur again. And so I think at the very basic, every company is going to say that needs to be, we're working safely and we're not having those type of incidents.
Yeah, I agree with you, Anna. So now we have this process. We have management that has the buy-in. We got the triggers identified. Mm-hmm. I would imagine a challenge would be the education component, the training, not just for existing people and your resources, but new people to be able to get trained properly.
Right. So you are going to need to define what kind of methodology that you're going to be using. So there's a lot of different ones out there. Talk about Apollo a bit. There's also things 5Y, Fishbones, Taproot, and you may want to have, when you're building up a robust process, you may want to say, hey, depending on the type of incident, if it's something smaller, which kind of very clear causes, but we want to make sure it's documented, have corrective actions, we can just do a 5Y. A couple people in a room doesn't need to be as complicated. But you do also need to have a robust process for more complex issues or more serious incidents. And that's where something like Apollo RCA is going to be useful. And for that, you're going to want to make sure that you're training facilitators. So ARMS does trainings on a frequency, either at companies or public for Apollo. But there's a lot of trained individuals. But you want to make sure that you have a good number of individuals trained, because unfortunately, there are times when there's one incident and suddenly there's times when there's seven. So you want to make sure that it's not all one person going through all of them, but that you can pull. It's also really valuable to pull resources from other units to get that outside opinion to lead your investigation, because they may ask questions that seem obvious but can lead to really valuable insights in an investigation.
That's a good point. So there's the you brought up methodology. So if it's a simple case, then you can do the 5Y. That's fine. That's great. Mm-hmm. And then I never even thought about multiple cases at one time and the necessity to be able to effectively do an RCA and draw the conclusions. But when there's multiple cases, you need to pull in other resources to make it happen.
Right.
Why do I want to do an RCA? I understand it, but I want to hear you tell me why I need to do an effective RCA.
Okay. So the biggest thing is an incident, if any kind of incident occurs, that you want to not reoccur. So you want to be investigating issues and resolving those deficiencies before they become an unignorable issue. So either if that's due to serious safety or monetary impacts. So this is kind of going back to if you've seen Heinrich's triangle or the accident triangle before. So that's the idea that for so many unsafe acts, you would then have so many near misses, which usually it's estimated like 600 near misses, which is then 30 minor accidents, 10 major accidents, and one fatality. So if you don't have this defined process, if you're not saying this is an incident we're going to look into proactively when you're down at that near miss or minor incident, then those deficiencies are still allowed to exist where you would be looking at having a major incident or a fatality.
So for me, because I'm the host,
yes,
how do you define a near miss?
That's an excellent question.
It's because I've been in a number of meetings where it's like, is that a near miss? I don't know if that's a near miss. Is that a near miss? I have no clue. Hey, pass me the coffee. I'm not sure. But it is. It's true, huh?
Yeah, no, it is true. It's not an easy...
No.
I agree. It's not an easy thing to say, okay, so this is this. You obviously, I would assume you want to lay out, you know, here are our like safety principles, our life-saving rules. Here are the explicit things. And so anything that would come close to those, I think you would consider a near miss. So something that had the opportunity to cause that severe incident is something that you want to be looking into.
Because the challenges, if you define and identify a near miss, it goes on to a report of some sort. Near miss. Okay. This is the thing. And then that near miss has internal obligation to resolve, correct, address, whatever it might be. But many companies, listen to me out there, have that list, but they do nothing. It sits out there, right? Mm-hmm. How does the Apollo root cause analysis deal with that type of real life situation that exists today in business industry?
So how does Apollo RCA deal with
like the verification of the reporting? Are you getting it done? How do you prioritize it? All of that good stuff.
Okay. So the Apollo RCA methodology is very much focused on the, root cause, so actually going through the investigation itself. It therefore is a methodology that kind of falls within whichever process your company has defined. So it, while we give guidance to people on how they should build a system for triggering, the methodology itself does not state this is what you should or should not do. As far as, you know, here's where to set your triggers, here's how to ensure that investigation's being completed. So that's why I wanted to talk with you about the importance of a formalized process, because
yes,
companies, we train them on how to do the Apollo methodology, but if they don't have a process or system set up themselves to say, this is when we're going to do an investigation, then just a really fancy software that we've taught them or a methodology that we've taught them how to use. So it's important that the company itself defines those things and then uses 5Y or Apollo in their investigate back to the causes instead of just saying, well, we know what happened there, and so this is going to be our solution.
The thing I hear, and that's great. What I find a really big challenge are people and employee buy-in and that importance of just getting everybody to say, yes, thumbs up, this is an important component to our health, our safety, our livelihoods. How do you establish getting people to buy in? Because it when there's a lot of activity going on in the manufacturing facility, things like this get sort of pushed to the side.
Absolutely.
Unless it's bought into.
Right. So the first thing you're going to have to make sure is that management understands it's fully bought in, because they're then going to have the opportunity to decide, you know, how much time and energy can be put aside towards this. So make sure that management's on board so they can then clear the path for employees. It's very important that you have the individuals who are a part of the incident or witness the incident, which a lot of times can be frontline or first line personnel involved. So you need to make sure that the company itself is bought in and sets aside that time for them to be a part of it. One thing that we do as far as within the investigation is you would assign, you know, action items, go do's, information for them to gather so they're also a portion of building it, not just, hey, I come and sit in this meeting and then I go back and do my day job. The idea is that this investigation is actually part of your day job. This is important and valuable. And then the last thing Another thing that's very valuable is that you have the individuals who completed the investigation also be a part of brainstorming solutions. While they may not be, you may not let the frontline decide exactly which ones are implemented, it's really important, especially since they'll be the people outside around everything, that they have a say and here are some possible ways that we could resolve this. And once they see their ideas as being, you know, considered or even implemented, they recognize this is a valuable tool. And so that's something I've had the chance many times to sit in rooms with people who are kind of like, here we go through this exercise again. And by the end of it, kind of seeing like, oh, there are either things that I hadn't considered, you know, this like actually going through this whole process brought out causes that I wasn't even aware of, or I'm so glad we've been trying to tell them this is a problem forever. I'm so glad that it's, you know, finally captured, because that's what this is. Resolve issues. So I think that's really how you get a lot of buy-in, is them being a big part of the process and then seeing how it can improve things in the end.
What do you think? And I heard what you said, because I do like that. And a lot of people in the front line see the hazards, have communicated the hazards on multiple occasions, and nothing happens. And therefore there's a sense of being numb. It's like that scaffolding's always been that way. Just climb on this side. Don't climb on that side. That's sort of the solution. But how do you eliminate finger pointing in these sessions?
So I just always make it incredibly clear, you know, we are all human and have bad days. So as far as I've been blessed that a lot of my jobs, when I have a bad day, it means I made a typo in an Excel sheet that I sent to someone. It didn't put someone's life at risk. And so, you know, the whole point is that any of us could have been that person or could have made a mistake. So the value isn't in, you know, well, who are we going to pin this on? The value is, how do we make sure that this doesn't happen to anyone ever
again? Yeah. And that's key. And if you sit there, and I've experienced, if you sit there and finger point, then then really everybody begins to sort of pull back. And then the objective of trying to really identify the cause and solutions is hindered dramatically.
Right.
So let's say we go through this whole process where we're all good. We're, you know, arm in arm, and we're all fine and dandy. Now what? Now that we've taken an incident, we've done an effective RCA on it, and now what? What do we do?
Okay. So if you've already done it, you've created whatever, followed whatever reporting format, got it done within the timeline, had it verified, which is fantastic if you've done all that. The next thing is going to be those corrective and preventive actions. So the solutions that come out of your RCA need to be assigned to individuals. They need to be well communicated to them. And then they actually need to be tracked for implementation. So this is one of the things that companies seem to struggle with the most in what I've seen. And the problem is, if you're falling down on this, then there was no point in doing the whole investigation. It was essentially just a pencil exercise. You don't do investigations to get a report. You complete the investigation to have solutions so that you can prevent recurrence. So this is the biggest step, and it's one that I have my little soapbox for every time that I train. But it's incredibly important. You need to have a system in place as far as when you cite people, you track that it's completed and you verify that they did it.
See, you have to, and then close it out. And then it's like, yep, check. That hazard has been resolved. That cause has been removed, whatever the thing, and it's also validated, right? It has. It's not, somebody didn't go in there and just say, oh God, look at the time. I've got to get on that. No, I'll just pencil whip it and say it's done.
Right.
Yeah, and you don't want that.
So then, because you also have these triggers that are telling you when something is incident, so it's getting flagged, you will then see, hey, are we still having a lot of incidents in this? So I had someone the other day, they were telling me about, they'd done this investigation, they implemented the perfect solution to the problem, and yet they were still having all these incidents. And I was like, well, then you didn't implement the perfect solution. You implemented a solution, but obviously there's more causes that you're not considering if you're still having the issue. So that's kind of your feedback loop on, you know, I'm not saying that it wasn't a good solution, but it didn't fully resolve the problem. So you need to go back. You need to do investigations on these new incidents with the information you already had and say, what more do we need to do?
I like it. We're going to have to wrap this up. I like you listeners out there. We've got a couple of really nice pieces of tactical solutions here. One, let's choose a methodology for doing an RCA. But for more importantly, let's talk about a defined process with defined triggers. Okay, those are really important components. You need to verify that things are progressing and everybody's shaking their head in the right direction, and then it's also resolved. No finger pointing. This is a no finger pointing type of and then it's important for employees and management and everybody that's a part of that team take ownership of this effort and follow doggone through. I simplified it quite a bit, because let's bottom line to your listeners out there, you got to do this stuff. Whether you like it or not, you got to do it, and you got to do it with a smile on your face because it's your livelihood. That's better.
Absolutely.
Hey, are you active out there on LinkedIn?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so if somebody says, hey, I liked what she was saying, and then we want to be able to talk about this a little bit more, reach out on LinkedIn.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, Brianna Fullman.
That's right. And you listeners out there, you know it's going to all be out there on Industrial Talk, all of the ways that you can contact Brianna. By the way, Brianna, I've already submitted a request to be a part of your network, and it's just sort of checked it. I think it's still pending.
I'll get right on that.
Yeah, it's still in pending mode. Yeah. No, I just did it this morning. All right. You are wonderful. Thank you very much, Brianna, for joining the Industrial Talk podcast. You listeners out there, stay tuned. We're going to wrap it up on the other side. Doggone it, do your RCAs.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
Hey there again. Thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. Really honored to have you a part of this particular platform. That was Brianna Fullman. Once again, she is with Arms Reliability. Check her out on LinkedIn. Easy to find. Tremendous skills, as well as all of the individuals at Arms Reliability. Go out to armsreliability.com. Find out more. Great people, great company, everything about them. Again, everything will be at industrialtalk.com. Look up Brianna's podcast. You'll get all of the links and connections and everything else. We're going to be starting a roundtable type of forum that is truly designed for success, okay? The first one that's going to be out there is a more sales-related roundtable, hot seat type stuff, where I pulled in some great sales professionals. We're just going to pepper them with questions, comments, and concerns and get the answers real time. We call it Operation Phoenix, and we're going to be focusing in on sales, marketing, and branding, because the only thing I can think of getting beyond this particular virus, you're going to have to innovate. You're going to have to think about how to, you know, sell differently, market differently, leverage technology. That's what it's all about. We're going to continue to run with that content. Thank you very much again for joining. Be bold, be brave, dare greatly. Thank you. You're changing the world. Be safe.